Blog Talk Radio.
But before we begin, I want to first say something in regards to the Real Talk for Real People show. would like to extend our condolences to those who have been affected by COVID-19, maybe the loss of life and maybe sickness. We would like to extend our condolences. But as elders, we're duty bound to see things and address those things. I see there's a lot of violence being exerted toward our sisters and women, universally speaking, sometimes in their deaths or abuse, even in front of their children. What have we become? Who are we? And why? A man shouldn't put his hand on a woman under any circumstances. I know you may be inundated by movies or television. Maybe you're not taught, but let us teach you. You don't put your hand on the woman under any circumstances. That doesn't make you a man. Make you less than a man. In our nation, there was something foreign to our understanding. Now we have partaken in it, hand and foot, a sad statement of affairs for us. That's why it's urgent and imperative that you go along with us in these travels and studies to find out what makes a man. What makes a woman? What makes a relationship with the Creator? Because we're totally confused about everything, especially by virtue of these movies and whatnot. You're totally confused, especially our young brothers and our young sisters, whom seem to think that that's okay, just because they sing about it in a rap song. Okay, it's okay. Then let him whoop my behind because I ain't nothing. I'm chastened. I'm this and that and the other. A rap song said it works for me. A rap song shouldn't be your cornerstone for the way someone treats you. And you should never let an individual treat you in that fashion, in any shape, form, or fashion. Because for all intents and purposes, it shows a low self-esteem to accept that type of behavior. And the onus is not upon you, my sisters. The responsibility lies upon our elders and our men in this nation. We've straightened our responsibilities. We've gone with the flow. Any way the mop flops, any way the wind blows, we've gone right along with it. We hadn't voiced any concern about it one way or another. Well, you need to stop letting the mop flop and catch the wind, because this nonsense needs to be put to rest. We shouldn't put our hand on women under any circumstances, not unless she become a dire threat to you, meaning that she's running out the kitchen with an AK-47. Then all things change. But for the most part, you shouldn't put your hand on women under any circumstances. Well, we're going to get into our study, but before we do, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City. And, you know, we're going to double up on the Book of Shemot, two chapters. So let me bring my brother and friend on, Kartrioff from New York City. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Oh, praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, Brother Yom Tov Ari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend.
That's a hot topic, huh? Brothers putting their hands on sisters.
Yeah, and it needs to be addressed too, brother. It needs to be addressed.
It definitely does. But just think about that. If you're a man that put your hand on your woman or your Isha or your wife, that means in your mind, it's all right for a man to put his hands on your mother. It's all right in your mind for a man to put his hands on your daughter. It's all right in your mind for a man to put his hands on your sister and every other female that's in your family. It's okay if that's what you do.
Right. Exactly, Kajil. Exactly.
So for me, I learned my lesson, you know, seeing my mother deal with that. And I swore to myself that I would never put my hands on a woman, ever.
Right.
And
exactly.
She hit me upside the head with a pot. Time for me to leave. She got physical, so
right.
It's time for me to go.
And, exactly.
I instilled that in my son. And fortunately, I did because he had a young lady that he was with, and they
mm-hmm.
broke up. And
right.
Long story short, they were together mm-hmm. one day, and she cracked him in his face with a phone and chipped his
what?
Tooth. And my son is a brown belt.
Right.
My son is a young freaking tiger.
Right.
And he got a short temper.
Right.
So it was really volatile, but he remembered what I told him. So he was cool, calm, and collected about it. And he just called the police and had a restraining order put on her.
Yeah, because some of these women are just as valid, my brother.
Oh, yeah.
Some, you know, they're just, and I'm talking about experience. Experience in my or my observation, I've been with some violent women, and when I was a young fool, maybe I would have got up with them. But you know, the older I got, the wiser I got, and all day I would do, I would call 911. That's what they get paid for, because I don't have time to be scuffling with no woman, because 9 times out of 10 in this society, it's the brothers that's gonna go down. So I don't have time for that scuffling. And then it's not right anyway to put your hand on a woman. Unless I say it was an imminent threat. She came out of there, the gun cocked, the AK-47. Then I have no other options. But, you know, sometimes, as your son did, sometimes you just got to walk away, Chucky. Just walk away.
And vice versa. Women shouldn't put their hands unnecessarily on men when they have, you know, arguments or disputes with them, unless the man, you know, gets physical with them. I saw one clip where these guys got physical with this Chinese lady.
Right.
And they were sorry that they did. She
mm-hmm.
broke out her defensive skills on them, and they had nothing for her.
Right. Yeah, it's some tough, and we'll fight you head up, brother. We'll fight you up toe to toe. Okay?
You want to get knocked out.
Yep.
She knocked these two guys out.
Yeah, this I know some sisters bar none, and they'll stand up toe to toe and duke it out with you. And you may be calling for your mama, and so that right that applies to the brothers and sisters. Keep your hand and keep your mouths off each other. All that cussing and fussing and name calling. You know, you don't get along. Just walk away. Just walk away. You don't own nobody just because they love you, or you love them. That don't mean you own them. And you got a right to do whatever you wanted to, however you want to do it. That gives you no right, no liberties. All right, Cartrell. Fellow.
And the thing about the music,
mm-hmm.
the influence of rap, when we were growing up, they always said our music was terrible, it was bad, but they wound up listening to it anyway.
Right.
But the music that they were saying was bad was not like rap is today, because
no.
our music was poetic, it was creative, it made you happy, it made you dance. The music, even rap, started out with conscious lyrics that brought social awareness to our people. When you
right.
listen to The Last Poets and stuff by
mm-hmm.
Curtis, you know, Mayfield, various songs.
Gil
Scott Heron. Yeah,
yep.
there was a lot of them out there. And
most of the
music was
right.
conscious level music.
Right.
And somewhere along the line, they twisted the rap into what it is today. Something that we say is negative. We've never said our music was negative.
Mm-hmm.
But out of our mouth, we're saying a genre of our music is negative and has a negative impact on the minds of our young people.
Exactly. Because you can have somebody driving by and you can hear the B word, I'm a kid, I don't care about killing nobody.
With little kids in the back seat.
Yeah, and they just beating, it's being ingrained in their mind, and they just snapping and head shaking right along with it. And then you did say something on point, Cartrell. Our music made us feel something constructive and our positive. And then it made us cry. And you never been in love like I've been in love. It made you cry sometimes too, brother. You feel what I'm saying? Made you cry in a good way and get yourself together. So you can get up with her and you just leave her alone. You see what I'm saying, brother?
Yeah, yeah. Treat her like a lady.
Yeah. I like that. You good. Treat her like a lady. I like that. All right, y'all. Turn to chapter 15 of Shemot. And we're going to get busy. This is a song that the Israelites dedicated to sing to the Most High. And
you know what's amazing about that?
Uh-huh.
The song was spontaneous. And that's how we do as a people, right? We make a song on the spot.
Exactly.
That's how we do.
So they made a song on the spot. And it went something like this. I will sing to the Elohim, for he triumphed gloriously. Horse and driver, he hurled into the sea. They got skills. The Elohim is my strength and might. He has become my deliverance. This is my Elohim. I will enshrine him. The Elohim of my father, I will exalt him. The Elohim, the warrior. The Elohim is his name. Well, Yah is his name. Pharaoh's chariot and his army. He is cast into the sea. And the pick of his officers are drowned in the sea of reeds. The deep covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Elohim, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Elohim, straddles the foe. In your great triumph, you break your opponents. You sent forth your fury, and it consumed them like straw. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood straight like a wall. The deep froze in the heart of the sea. The foe said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will bear my sword, my hand shall subdue them. You made your wind blow, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the majestic waters. Who is like you, O Yah? Among the celestials. Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in splendor, working wonders? You put out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. And in your love, you led the people you redeemed. In your strength, you guided them to your holy abode. The people here, they tremble. Agony grips the dwellers in the Philistia. Now are the clans of Edom dismayed. The tribes of Moab trembling grips them. All the dwellers in Canaan are aghast. Terror and dread descend upon them. Through the might of your arm, they are still as stone. Till your people cross over, O Yah. Till your people cross whom you have ransomed. You will bring them and plant them in your holy mountain, the place you made to dwell, O Yah. The sanctuary, O Yah, with your hands established.
Okay.
Will reign forever and ever. I know what you're trying to go through. The sanctuary, O Yah, which your hands established.
Uh-huh.
Already. Prefabbed. I know what you're going back to. For the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and horsemen went into the sea. And the Elohim turned back on them, the sea, the waters of the sea. But the Israelites marched on dry land in the midst of the sea. Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tremble in her hand, and all the women went out after her and danced with timbrels, and Marianne chanted for them. Oh, I like that little ditty. Sang to the Elohim, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and driver, he is hurled into the sea. I like that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Mary got it.
Mary, we got to get Gregory Porter to sing this song.
Oh, you're a real hater, man. Let me finish.
But no.
Go ahead.
They should have been singing this song every day in the wilderness that they was there, right?
Truth.
If they really meant what they were singing, they should have been singing this song every day.
Because they sure lost sight of it, Cottrell. They sure lost sight of it. They should have been, Cottrell. I concur with you on that. And Moses caused Israel to set out from the Sea of Reeds. They went into the wilderness of Shur. They traveled 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. They came to Marah, but they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. That is why it's named Marah. And the people grumbled, here they go, against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So Moses cried unto Yah, the Elohim. And the Elohim showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There he made for them a fixed rule, and there he put them to the test. He put ahead, put them to the test, and he said, if you, he, the Elohim, your Yah, diligently doing what is upright in his sight, giving ear to his commandments and keeping all of his laws, then I will not bring upon you any of the diseases. I will not bring upon you any of the diseases that I brought upon the Mizrenites. For I, the Elohim, am your healer. You don't need a doctor if you do what's right. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. And they had camped there beside the waters. Let's have a little discussion before we go into chapter 16, shall we? Cottrell, what is your commentary on what we just read? The beautiful song, and then our grumbling brothers and sisters.
Well, when it got to the place of Marah, where the waters were bitter, my book says that Yah showed Moshe a tree.
Right.
When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. So
right.
he didn't have to use his staff, nor did Aaron have to use his staff. Yah showed him something else.
Exactly.
Right?
He changed up.
Right,
huh? He changed up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the fact that the people forgot the song so quick, right? The lyrics of that song, everything that they said was saying that Yah is their salvation, Yah is their help, Yah is their deliverer. Yah is the one that brought them to where they are. Now they're complaining to Moses. So they didn't get to the point where they wanted to kill him yet. But they're starting to complain already rather than humble themselves and pray. So it's like the Most High nipped it in the bud. He said, I'm going to test y'all now because I want y'all to follow, number one, my commands, right? In verse 26, he said, if you diligently heed the voice of Yahya Elohim and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am Yah. Who heals you? And this is the particular verse that we use when we don't take vaccine. You know, they try to inoculate our children with those vaccinations. We say we don't take them because we follow Yah's commandments and his statutes. And he told us that he would not put the diseases that y'all are afraid of, rubella and smallpox and what else is it? Chicken pox and rubella. We don't take those shots.
Right.
God said, I will put none of the diseases on you, which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am Yah who heals you. And we know that Yah heals us because we came over here butt naked on slave ships, and the Europeans had all kinds of diseases. And we survived all those diseases without vaccinations or shots.
Without any inoculation or vaccines.
Even the Spanish flu in 1918 that they speak about. We didn't take the vaccines back then, but we hear in numbers. So we have to trust in Yah, just like this song says that they made up.
But I think, Katrina, they gave a lot of lip service to him, but their action was not reflective of their trust and belief in him. The lip service was good, but the action was somewhat amiss, Katrina.
Sounds like how we do today.
Exactly.
The same MO with the same people. We can make a song for you on the spot, sound sincere, and then tomorrow or 3 days later, it's a whole other situation.
Well, we've dealt with that a lot, haven't we?
we've dealt with that
a lot on the show. Okay. Thank you,
like
Godfrey.
That song Janet Jackson made, "What Have You Done For Me Lately?"
Exactly. Exactly, Cottrell. All right, fellow students, let's go to the next chapter, shall we? May the Most High bless you by the reading, study, most importantly, the application of His Word in your life. No lip service, application. Setting out from Ilium, the whole Israelite community came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Ilium and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Mizraim. In the wilderness, the whole Israelites community, here they go again, grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of Yah in the land of Mizraim, then when we sat by the flesh pots, when we ate our fill of bread, we don't care what the circumstances were, at least we got food. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to starve the whole congregation to death."
Wait a minute. You had just made a beautiful song.
Right.
The act that you saw Yah do to the Egyptians, who was your mortal enemy. You saw how He threw His army into the sea. Then He made a pact with y'all that you heard.
That didn't mean nothing to him. That didn't mean a thing.
Fickle. That's how we are today. We're very fickle-minded people.
We see it all the time, Cottrell. Come on, now. We see it all the time. Fickle. That's a good word, Cottrell. I like it. We are fickle.
We got to change, though. Something about us got to change, for real.
True. We got to get a new thinker, Cottrell. We got to get the real thinker. Like
new heart, new mind.
Right.
Absolutely.
You got to get it. If you didn't get it, you're going to be fickle, like Cottrell said, and I concur with it. And the Elohim said to Moses, "I will rain down bread for you from the sky. And the people should go out and gather." See, they still didn't follow the instructions on the first quarter. Let me show you. "The people should go out and gather each day, that day's portion, for that day, that I may test them to see whether they will follow my instructions or not." See, the Mohai always tests me. On the sixth day, when they are apportioned what they have bought in, it shall be double the amount they gather each day, because you know the Sabbath coming up. So Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, gave them instruction like they received them. "By evening you should know it was Yah who brought you out of the land of Mizraim. And in the morning you shall behold the presence of the Elohim, because He has heard your grumbling against the Elohim." Not against us. We don't take it personally. "For who are we that you should grumble?" We ain't nothing. That's how me and Cottrell feel. We don't care. You ain't mad at us. We ain't saying none of this. So we just like Moses and Aaron in some respect. You ain't getting mad at Cottrell and Yom Su. This is Most High. Who we are, that you should grumble, we ain't nothing. "Since it is the Elohim," Moses continued, "who will give you flesh to eat in the evening and bread in the morning." Now he's going to give him some instructions to the full, because the Elohim has heard your grumbling you utter against Him. What is your part? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Elohim. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole Israelite community, advance toward the Elohim, for He has heard your grumbling." And as Aaron spoke to the whole Israelite community, they turned toward the wilderness, and there in a cloud appeared the presence of the Elohim. And the Elohim spoke to Moses, "I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Speak to them and say, by evening you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. And you should know that I am Yah, am your Elohim, In the evening, quail appeared and covered the camp. In the morning, there was a fall of dew upon the camp. When the fall of dew lifted, there over the surface of the wilderness lay a fine and flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is this? For they did not know what it was." And Moses said to them, "That is the bread which the Elohim has given to you to eat. This is what the Elohim commanded. He's going to give them instruction. Gather as much as it is of each of you requires to eat, an omer to a person. For as many of you as there are, each of you shall fetch for those in his tent. Just only just enough." The Israelites did so, gathering much, some little. But when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much had no excess, and he who had gathered little had no deficiency. They had gathered as much as they needed to eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over in specific instructions until the morning." But they paid no attention to Moses, and some of them left of it until morning. And when it became infested with maggots and stank. And Moses was angry with them because he had given his strength. So they gathered as he needed to eat. For when the sun grew hot, it would melt. On the sixth day, they gathered double the amount of food, two omers for each. And when all the chieftains of the community came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Elohim meant. Tomorrow is a day of rest. You're not going to gather anything tomorrow. A whole Sabbath of the Elohim, which you would bake and boil, what you would boil. And all that is left put aside to be kept until the morning. You could do that for the Sabbath." So they put it aside until morning as Moses had ordered. And it did not foul, and there was no maggots in it. Then Moses said, "Eat it today, for the day is a Sabbath of the Elohim. You will not find it today on the plain. It's not coming today. You won't find no more today. 6 days you shall gather it, and on the seventh, the Sabbath, there will be none." You're supposed to gather twice the day before. Yet some of the people went out. Boy, we are some hard-headed folk. Still is. The DNA, the MO, modus operandi don't change for some of us. Yet some of the people went out on the seventh to gather, but they found nothing. And the Elohim said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to obey my commandments and my teachings? Mark that the Elohim has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you 2 days food on the sixth day. Let everyone remain where he is. Let no man leave his place on the seventh." So the people remain inactive on the seventh day. Man, stubborn, hard-headed, mule-headed. I'm sick of hearing about them. The house of Israel named it manna. It was like the coriander seed. It was white. It tasted like wafers and honey. Elohim, Moses said, "This is what the Elohim has commanded. Let one omer of it be kept throughout the ages." They're supposed to keep it one. Keep the bread of the Most High. "In order that you may see the bread that I fed you in the wilderness." When you hear about the bread in the temple. And the covenant of the ark. "And when I brought you out of the land of Mizraim." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar, put one omer of manna in it, and place it before the Elohim to be kept throughout the ages." As the Elohim had commanded to Moses, Aaron placed it before the pack to be kept. And the Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to settle land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. The omer is a tenth of an ephah. Oh, boy, these some hard-headed brothers. I tell you that. Some hard-headed brothers and sisters. They refuse to follow instruction, Cottrell. Refuse. What is wrong with some of us, Cottrell?
Well, it's amazing, ain't it?
Yeah, I can see it today as we speak, Cottrell. We see it on Fool's Book. We see it in our interaction with some of our brothers and sisters as elders of the nation. We see it. What is wrong with us? Why can't we just follow instruction? Why we got to always be hard-headed, do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, and you can't do nothing for yourself? I don't get it. Why can't y'all just simple follow instructions? Stiff-necked and stubborn. DNA, MO, the modus operandi. And certainly in the case of what we see today, the apple don't fall far from the tree, Cartrell. What say you, my brother?
It's amazing because we read where the Most High made his presence felt with Job. We read where the Most High made his presence felt with all the prophets. And what was their reaction? They all humbled themselves, right?
Humble themselves and follow the instruction, Cartrell.
So our people coming out of Egypt got the constant presence of the Most High. And they are nowhere near as humble as the men we read about, the prophets and Job.
None, Cartrell. Nowhere near. Nowhere near.
The Most High's presence humbled them so much when he instructed them, they followed his instruction to the letter, right?
Exactly.
And here it is. The Most High has given us instruction. This is the first Sabbath. Everybody talks about the Sabbath, but they didn't observe the Sabbath in Egypt, which is why they went out on the seventh day looking for the manna and wasn't there. But if they had been observing the Shabbat all along, they would have knew. We know, hey, nothing going to be out there. So this is their first introduction to the Sabbath as a nation, Israel, in this wilderness.
Exactly.
But they blew it the first time. They blew it. And Most High got upset with them. But there's another amazing thing with this manna. I wonder if you noticed it.
Okay. Enlighten us.
He told them to gather it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And don't leave it till the morning, right? What they do.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
So when they gathered it and left it till the morning, what happened?
It turned foul and had maggots in it.
Right. So they probably put it in the jar, try to preserve it. But
hard-headed.
It stank. Huh? Hard-headed.
Cartrell, hard-headed.
And then the second thing was that the Most High said, okay, I'm introducing you to the Shabbat. On the sixth day, you got to gather twice as much as I tell you before so that you have enough for the seventh day, right?
Right.
And they did it, right?
Yep.
And what
and
happened?
Some went out on the seventh day, regardless of the instructions.
And there was none there.
There was none there. And
the people that gathered twice as much on the sixth day, it was there on the seventh day, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The people that gathered twice as much on the sixth day, when the seventh day came, it didn't turn to worms because they preserved it. Like the first time, they tried to preserve it, and it turned to worms and stink.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying?
I see.
So the second, the sixth day, you could gather enough for the seventh day, and it won't turn to worms, and it won't stink. That's amazing. Because when you tried it before, you try to preserve it for the next day, and it turns to worms, and it stink. But Most High telling you on the sixth day, that won't happen. Right?
Yeah, that means if you follow my plan, it's going to work for you. But if
That's
you
right.
don't, follow my plan, it ain't gonna work for you.
And then the cherry on top is when he told them to take an omer full and put it in a jar and preserve it for generations.
And that stayed preserved. That stayed preserved because the Most High blessed like that. See, that's part of our problem, Cartrell. We want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it, and it doesn't work out for us. But as long as we do what the Most High said, it works out perfectly for us. That's our problem.
And that's such a simple thing, because you're talking about manna, bread from heaven, and he gave them simple instructions with it. Don't gather too much, Don't gather too little. On the sixth day, gather twice as much so you have enough for the seventh day, and then take one of them and put it in a jar to preserve it for generations. So if you didn't listen to the instructions, everything went haywire, right?
Exactly.
That's amazing, because Yah showing you his power.
But then
the bread that we eat.
But that's teaching us that's applicable even to today. It's applicable even to today.
Was the test so hard, or was it a simple test?
It was a simple test. He told him the answer before they took the test. I gave you the answer before you took the test. If you took the test, some of y'all failed.
In order to pass the test, you must follow the instructions.
Bingo, you're wearing the golden teddy bear, Cartrell. You must follow instructions. You don't run nothing. And once you get that concept in your mind, and just like Aaron and Moses said, y'all grumbling, we ain't nothing. Y'all grumbling against y'all. What y'all grumbling for? Ain't nothing me and Aaron said.
They should have sang that song to them when they started complaining.
They didn't want to hear that. That's too much like right. They didn't want to hear that. Now, we don't want to sing no song. We want to do what we want to do. Now,
they would have been telling them to shut up, stop trying to sing like Yom Soup and Katria.
Yeah. Put that trimmer down. Everybody will hear that singing. Put it down. We want to do what we want to do.
We want food and water.
Yeah. You'd have bought us out here to die. I mean, you could have left us there to die. We all die. What you got to bring us out in this wilderness for? Come on, bro. We always got something.
They sang that song and said, Yah should have left us in Egypt to die.
Wow. Ungrateful. Unthankful.
Who says that?
Some of us are like that today, Cartrell.
Oh, yeah.
We
had a problem from a long time ago. It ain't the start. I think those were broken from a long time ago.
A hot mess, Cartrell. A hot mess. Grumbling all the time about everything. As long as you follow instructions, you all right. You cut out all that grumbling and mumbling and carrying on and so forth. That's why you...
Being disloyal to your leaders.
Notorious.
No other
and
people...
Everybody knows you're notorious for not following instructions.
No other people...
You in other folk land. You in other folk land trying to run stuff in their land. That's how notorious you are. You notorious for not following instructions. You trying to run things in other folk land. You trying to do what you want in other folk land and say they got to put up with you. Them folk ain't got to put up with you. If the Most High didn't put up, these folk ain't going to put up with you. You need to start following instructions. That's what you need to start doing. Start humbling yourself. That's your problem. You need to get on your knees tonight and pray to the Most High for a new thinker, a humble thinker that loves the Most High with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And your neighbor is yourself that thirsts after righteousness. And please let me learn to follow instructions. Because you got to realize, brothers and sisters, I ain't trying to preach to you, but you got to realize something here. We're not going back for a warm, fuzzy feeling here. We're going back for a critical analysis and assessment. What caused our problem? What caused the break in our relationship with Yah? How can we revive this relationship? How can we mend the break? Now, you see what caused the break, what began the cause of the break, grumbling, mumbling, complaining, and can't follow instructions. And the apple don't fall far from the tree. In our regard, truth be told, that's part of our problem. Always look around for something right there, right in your face. We run here and there, to and fro, always looking for, I need another charismatic leader. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't need Yah, and you need to follow instructions. And don't come to me for no care. I'm not your leader. Don't come to Kaja. He'll tell you, no, I ain't leading nothing. You better go to the Most High. You better get your mind right. It's not all this old playing on for when he come, and then you still playing. What you going to do then? You better get it real. And you still playing. I'm not trying to preach to y'all, but y'all need to hear this. You're running here, there, to and fro, looking for a charismatic leader, and he's right there in your face. Just like our brothers and sisters of ancient times, right there in their face, crying and grumbling and mumbling and can't follow instructions. That's what got us in the problem we in. Crying, grumbling, and mumbling, and can't follow instruction. Begin of the severing our relationship with Yah. You need to mend that relationship. That's our problem. All right, Katri, let me get off my soapbox, but I'm just keeping it real, Katri. I'm just keeping it real. What say you, my brother?
Yeah, we got a lot of work to do on ourselves. And the Most High gave us these writings to reflect our characters and to change our characters while we have time. Because we are just exactly like our ancient fathers. They had the Most High right there with them. And
this journey, Michael. Are you there?
You can't hear me? You can't hear me?
His computer went on blank.
You can't hear me?
We'll give him a few minutes.
You can't hear me?
And maybe they just shut him down. Maybe it's the alphabet people are back playing tricks on us tonight.
Yeah.
Perhaps they may have shut him down. And yep, they shut him down because he dropped out. I knew that probably was going to happen. He probably come back on in a minute. But as I said, we need to get serious with Yah and stop playing games and searching for everything and everywhere. We definitely need to get serious. Okay, Cartrell is back, and the alphabet boys probably left off of him. Cartrell, may the Lord God bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Can you hear me? Shalom.
Cartrell.
Can you hear me?
My brother.
Shalom.
Well,
can you hear me?
Let me see. Can I call your number? And you'll hear me call your number. And you can pick up from then. Because I'm not reading your own. Let me see. 3-2. Okay, let me give you a call, Cartrell.
Shalom, 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 shalom.
Cartrell, can you hear me? Okay. Let me try to call his number again. I don't know what's going on. I don't even hear it ringing. So. Okay, let's see what's going on here. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I guess the powers that be didn't like the conversation, Cartrell. That's all right. The Most High likes it. We're back in charge again. Well, the Most High is in charge. Cartrell, what's your commentary? And after that, you can find the next Psalms, and we'll keep it moving. I'm sorry, listeners, for the break.
We were talking about the character of our ancient fathers and our people. We had the Most High in our midst, and we didn't humble ourselves like Job or the prophets while the Most High was in the midst of them. We worried about our food and what we're going to drink and going back into Egypt. And we have to learn a lesson from them because it's a reflection of who we are as a people, which is why the Most High left it on record for us to examine so we could examine ourselves. It's unfortunate that we have so much to fight through. Because you can see here, they were quick to turn on their leaders, Moshe and Aaron. And it's something that we do today, too. You know, people that help us, we're not really grateful for the help, you know, that we get. We're looking for something more. But we have to learn how to humble ourselves and obey Yah's simple commands, because what he told them to do wasn't complicated at all, and it wasn't difficult for them to do. Had they followed the instruction, they would have been blessed. But we see we always got to test Yah. And that's going to be to our detriment, because Yah's not going to tolerate it again. We have to get it right this time.
Exactly.
Because that's vital.
Right, and that's why we go on these studies. We're doing this archaeology study to not get a warm, fuzzy feeling about who we are, but what did we do? What mistakes we made? What got us in the circumstances we're in right now, universally speaking? And then rectify that mistake. Rectify the mistake. All right, Cadrell. Well, my brother, I'm glad you got back with us. And we're looking forward to that Psalms, and we're going to get out of here.
Okay, so we go to a spiritual journey. And the spiritual journey takes us back into our historical journey, because the 95th Psalm is speaking precisely on what we're reading. Praise Yah, hallelujah. Some synchronicity going on here, and you'll see. Psalms 95, I believe it's another Psalm of Moshe. Oh, come, let us sing unto Yah. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully unto him with songs. So that's what we should have been doing the whole time that he was in our presence, right? For Yah is great, the great Elohim, and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yah, our Maker, for he is our Elohim, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, 2020, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years, I was grieved with that generation and said, it is the people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore my wrath. They shall not enter my rest. And that's what happened to our forefathers when they rebelled in the wilderness against Yah. They pissed him off so much that he swore in his wrath that they would not go into the land of Canaan and see that temple that he had for them. So we see in the beginning of the grief that they caused Moses and the Most High when he rescued them from Egypt. He said, don't harden your hearts today as in the rebellion, because we rebelled against Yah in the wilderness. He said, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, which means Yah was testing our fathers and they failed it. They tested him. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. What did they see? They saw the Most High smash Egypt. They saw the Most High destroy Egypt, Pharaoh's army. They saw the Most High bring bread from heaven and other things that he did for them. Bring them water, turn bitter waters into sweet waters. And they wasn't satisfied. He said, for 40 years, I was grieved with that generation. And we don't want to follow in their footsteps by being rebellious. And he said, it is the people who go astray in their hearts. And we're still doing the same thing today, which is why the message to our people from Yom Suf Ari is ask for a new heart and a new mind. We need new thinkers, because our thinkers are broke. and they do not know my ways. And we can say that today. How many of us know the ways of Yah? And it's not enough to know them. You have to follow them. You have to know them, and you have to follow the ways of Yah. That's why King David says, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And we should be in that same path of righteousness to honor and glorify our Creator, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Master. So he swore in his wrath that the Israelites that went out into the wilderness would not enter to Canaan. And they didn't. But we're getting a little ahead of the story. But that's synchronicity. Yah shown us he's not playing around with us. So he's giving us a fair warning not to be hard-hearted and rebellious.
Exactly. Well, I think it's synchronized with the message we just brought about and Shemot. And the Most High synchronizes things. As I said, Carter and I, we don't have beforehand discussions about what we present. These seem to come synchronized into the presentation. And so we hope you take Yah's word in his presentation and you apply it to your lives. Katria, my brother and friend, what's your closing remarks?
My remarks are for our people that's out here listening to take action. We have to be proactive. And the way we can do that is by helping to gather our people, helping to put our people's mindset into nation building. So you can visit yahwillgather.us and see what we're doing and get involved in the process of bringing our people together and lining up with Yah's work. So that website is yahwillgather.us, YAHWILGATHER. .us, yahwillgather.us. So get involved. We in trying times. We in times of trial and tribulation. Our troubles are going to get more severe. Judgment is in the earth, and we need Yah now more than ever. So we need each other. We need Yah, and it's time to get moving. We can't be reactionary and look at what they're doing and talk about what they're doing and respond to what they're doing. We have to be proactive to take destiny into our own hands, and our destiny lies with the Most High. So we better get with it. Start learning Yah's ways, which we're trying to show you. The word of Yah is very important for our salvation.
Exactly. And I concur. Well, thank you, Cottrell. My brothers and sisters, thank you for being with us in our studies of the Most High Word.
And thank you, my brother.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And only that, not simply because of study. The most important thing is your actions, as Cartier alluded to. You can have all the studies in the world in your pockets, but if you don't take it out your pockets and apply it, it's worth no good to you, none whatsoever. And that being said, brothers and sisters, we don't know where you're going, but we know this. You're getting ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People, intense investigatory archaeology show of the Most High Word, and most importantly, your application of His Word. And before you do that, please get you a new thinker, one unlike our brothers and sisters, our ancient fathers and mothers, one entirely unlike that, like our King David, who knew his shortcomings, accepted them, and grabbed onto the Most High with all the utmost and gusto he could, and ask for forgiveness, and ask for a new thinker, one that loves you with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you labor as yourself for the third type of righteousness. And that being said, may the Most High bless you, direct and order your steps, and stop leaning to your own understanding. Open your eyes. Good night, Cartrell. Good night, brothers and sisters. We love you. Shalom.
open our eyes. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. Lord, open our eyes. He has given us hills and mountains. He has given us, oh yeah, level. Rain. Oh yeah, and all that he provided kept us good, good, oh yeah, from the storm and the pain. Rent us. Let our faith increase, oh yeah, and master, yeah, yeah, oh yeah. Open our eyes, open our eyes, open our eyes. Open our eyes.